Good morning, Crosswater. How are we doing? Good morning. Happy Palm Sunday. Turn and give somebody, slap palms with somebody real quick. Go ahead and slap palms with somebody. That's what Palm Sunday is all about, right? I do that every year in kids ministry. That's the only, I look forward to today so much, just so I can say, let's slap palms. All right. I would say that's probably the stupidest thing I'm going to do today, but let's sit tight and wait and see what happens. But, man, I am so excited. I can't believe already we're here at Palm Sunday. We're here at Holy Week. And obviously leading up to Good Friday and to our Easter services this Saturday and Sunday. And I really want to encourage you to start off to make sure that this week you take time to reflect on just the magnitude of what Jesus did in your life. This is a week for us to really take time to set ourselves back and remember all that Christ's sacrifice was in our life. And I'm really looking forward to the word that the Holy Spirit is going to give Pastor Josh next week as he's going to be talking about being alive. Today, I want to talk to you about death. You all ready to go? Yeah, you're like, great. I woke up this morning when I could have slept in just so I can go to church, and they're going to talk about death. Yay! Yes, it should be yay, because it's a good thing. So we're going to dive in. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to open up to Galatians chapter 2. We're going to be talking about verse 19, and we're also going to be hitting verse 20, but we're going to be hitting verse 19 a little bit more. But before I get into that verse, I want to kind of set the backstory just a little bit. So this is Paul writing a letter to the church of Galatia. And why this is important is because you had a lot of the Jewish leaders who were there in that time who couldn't quite process and understand exactly what this message of Jesus meant. They held the Old Testament, specifically the first five books of the Bible, which they call the Torah, and those laws in high regard. In fact, it's held in such high regard that they believe that these laws are what gains you salvation. Now, we could spend a whole day, and probably a couple days, going through what is the law, what does it mean. I've got to give you a very simplified version of it today, okay? That's a Bible study for another day, but today I want to give you a very simplified version just because I want everybody to really understand what this is. So the laws of the Old Testament, we're going to take the Ten Commandments as our main example, are one of the laws. And why these were held in such high regards is because the Jewish people really believed that as long as I stayed obedient to these laws, that not only do I gain favor with Christ, but I also secure my place with him forever in heaven. The problem is, with this theory, is that when Adam and Eve were here, they were tempted and fell to the temptation by Satan, and they brought sin into the world. And because sin was brought into the world, now I am an imperfect being. Now I am a sinful person. My flesh drives what I do. And because the law was given by God and the commandments are good, my sinful nature now falls short of that law. And whenever I break the law, just like if I broke the law that is set by our government here, there's a penalty that follows to it. And that penalty for breaking the law is death. And so to try and circumvent this just a little bit, one of the laws was that you could bring a sacrifice to the Lord as a forgiveness of sin. The problem is, we had not received the ultimate sacrifice just yet. So when I brought a lamb to God, which praise God, we don't have to do that anymore. This place would smell horrible if we did. But praise God, I don't have to do that. But they would have to sacrifice animals in order to get their sins forgiven because I messed up. But even there we see, is an animal really a sufficient payment for the penalty of breaking God's law? The law does require death if broken. The penalty is death. And so that penalty has been put on me. But because of Jesus, he has taken that away. Which is why in Galatians 2:19, as we dive in, we see Paul explaining this to the people of Galatia, where he says, "For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. So what does it mean that I've died to the law? Well, I want to take you through a three-step process today. Specifically when it comes to the cross. We're going to talk about before the cross, when I've encountered the cross, and then what happens after the cross. Amen? So as we dive in here, Paul has given greater detail in Romans chapter 7, verse 4. When he's writing to the Romans and he says this, he says, "So my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead," talking about Jesus, "in order that we might bear fruit for God." But verse 5, here's the next part. "For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us so that we bore fruit for death." We were constantly falling short of the law because I am operating in the realm of the flesh. And so although the people of Galatia hold these laws and commandments as my obedience and the things that I do working to it to be sufficient enough, the problem is I continually fall short. The problem is, as much as I try to be obedient to this, I can never find righteousness through it. Paul directly says this himself in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, where he says, "I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ would have died for nothing," which is so true. Christ's perfect purpose here, his mission here, would have been for absolutely nothing if I could have been able to find righteousness through what the law gave me. That's why I had such a need for a Savior. And what I'm telling you today in regards to the cross is really, before I've come to Jesus, before the cross, it's about me. And that's really what Paul was trying to sell the people in Galatia. Before the cross, this is about you. This is about you trying to be obedient. This is about you trying to do all these works so that you can gain favor and blessing from God. It's not about somebody else. It's about me. In our Christian faith, before we come to Jesus, that is how we operate as well. Life is about me. About my wants, my needs, my vision, my purpose. And there's many people who believe today that as long as I follow the commandments, or I give enough money, or I live a life that is morally pleasing unto the Lord, that I'm good, that I'm set. And there's a lot of people traveling down a road in which they believe they are safe, but which they are not. Because it's not about anything I can do in works. It's about receiving the free gift that Christ has given me. It is through Jesus and Jesus alone that I am saved. But I want to make something clear right now, because it sounds like I'm bashing the Old Testament here. I'm not. In fact, Jesus made this very clear. He said that he did not come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. Yes, we are satisfying and completing the old covenant. Jesus did say in the book of Mark, when he was with his disciples during the Last Supper and during the time where he was doing Holy Communion with his disciple, he raised the cup of wine that represent his blood, and he said, "This is my blood poured out for the sins of mankind," that represents the new covenant. So yes, there's going to be a new covenant, but this doesn't mean that the laws like the Ten Commandments are just thrown away. Paul addresses this too, because he's trying to make it very clear that your obedience is not what's going to take it. It's going to be your faith by his grace that you are saved. And here in Romans, going back to Romans chapter 7 and verse 10, Paul says this to the Romans. He said, "I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. The commandments that were supposed to bring good to me has actually brought death." Why? It says right there at the start of verse 11, for sin being the issue, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, as it has done so many of us. It has deceived us, and through the commandment put me to death. And so what does he follow up with in verse 12? Very simple. He says, so then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. We are not throwing away the Old Testament. In John 1, chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. That means every word written in this book, just because it doesn't say Jesus' name directly, it is Holy Spirit inspired by Jesus himself. So every word in this book holds true today. Amen? So if somebody tries to use that argument of, well, Jesus didn't say it, you're wrong, he did. If it's in his word, he said it. This is all comes from God. And everything that he brought, these laws were holy, righteous, and good. It's just the old covenant didn't satisfy the true payment that was needed. Because the payment still required death. And so what did Christ do with the old covenant? It says here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 through 12, it says, under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But I love in the Bible when there's a big old but in there. In verse 12, we see a big old but. Everybody say but. You can tell I work with kids. But it says, our high priest offered himself to God. Who's that talking about? Jesus. Jesus offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins. Good for all time. This was the purpose of why Jesus came. Is that we no longer had to find a spotless lamb to try and go through the whole sacrificial process to try and get my sins taken care of. Jesus Christ, who has been referred to as the Lamb of God, who came and lived the sinless life, was the one single sacrifice so that when he was on the cross, he bore the sin of the past, present, and future so that I can be free today. So that he would settle the penalty once and for all. And so what was even better is that right there is good. Where it gets even sweeter is then on the third day, he rose from the grave, defeating death, symbolizing new life within himself so that we now could have a forever with him in heaven. What does that mean if we go back to Galatians 2:19 where he says, for through the law I died to the law so I might live for God? Our answer is in that very next verse. I have been crucified with Christ. It is I who no longer live, but Christ lives in me. When I come face to face with the cross, if before the cross it was about me, when I come face to face with the cross through Christ's sacrifice, the cross puts to death me, my old life, and births a new creation. What am I saying? When I come to Christ, I have to die. When I come to Christ, I have to die. My old self is being put to death so that I no longer live, but it is Christ living in me. And because Christ now lives in me and his residency is in heaven, guess where my residency is now placed in? But I have to go through that process of being put to death. I have to die to the law. Because Jesus died to the law as the penalty for my sin. And what he is saying is that through faith, if I confess with my mouth my sin and ask for his forgiveness, believing that he died on the cross for it, then I am promised an eternal home with him. It says he is within my heart. It is a transformative process when I come face to face with the cross because of Christ's sacrifice. It completely changes my life because my old self has been put to death and now I have been made new, which means my heart is new, my thoughts are new, the way my spirit is compelled is new because I'm being driven by the Holy Spirit and not my flesh. There is a change. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth." Everybody say new birth. What through? It's through into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This new birth only happens through Jesus. Paul is telling these Jewish people of Galatia, look, you've got to die. Obedience to the law, no matter what works you do, no matter how many good things you try to do, it doesn't matter. You've got to die. Why? So Christ can live in you. Those commandments are good. They're righteous and holy. Why? Because they show me the life of how I can be obedient to God, how I can please God. It gives me a great direction. But it is only through Jesus in which I'm saved. It is only through there in which I am reborn. Ephesians 4:22 says the same thing. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is what? Being corrupted by its deceitful desires. There we see that word deceitful again. It's being corrupted by sin. So that we can be transformed to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The only way I can find righteousness is through Jesus Christ. That is the only way. And so I know a lot of here, I'm preaching to the choir right now. And I pray that if you haven't had this moment where you've given your heart to Jesus, I know we're going to be talking about it next week, but I'm encouraging you today. If you haven't done that today, I encourage you, it's time to die. It's time to die to yourself. But let me tell you, when I'm in church and I want to preach to y'all today, I need something I can take away with. What is the whole purpose of this? What is the whole design and process of this? What am I supposed to do with this? You know, the reason why we come here is to get filled so that I can now live out what his word's saying. In the book of Proverbs, it gives us a little bit of an idea of what our next steps are. In Proverbs, verse 11, verse 30, it says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life." Remember, this directly correlates back to what Paul was saying in Romans chapter 7. When he was saying, you know, when we were in our sinful desires, we were bearing fruit of death. But now that I've been made alive, now I've died to the law, I've been made alive in Christ, I'm now bearing fruit for God. And what it's saying that the righteous, those who are in Christ, are bearing fruit for God, and those who are bearing fruit for God are a tree of life. So now that I have Christ living in me, the fruit that is I have in my life is fruit of life. And so we got to be very careful, though, to not just leave Proverbs as a one-liner, because there's always a second line that goes along with us that really tells us what to do with it. And so that second line there says, "Whoever captures souls is wise." What does that mean? If I'm bearing fruit for God, if I'm now being a tree of life because Christ is living in me, nothing to do with me, but it's because Christ is living in me, then whoever captures souls is wise. Why? Because now I am adopting the mission of why God came. He made his mission very clear in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, when he said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." If before the cross it was about me, after the cross it becomes about others. It's not about you anymore. My old life has been put to death. I am now alive in Christ. It's not about me anymore. It's about others. Jesus was very clear about that. When he rose from the grave, he was on earth for 40 days before he ascended into heaven. And the last thing he told the crowd before he ascended into heaven was to go into all the nations and preach the good news, what we just talked about, baptizing them in the Holy Spirit. His purpose here on earth was to die for our sins. His mission was to seek and save those who are lost. And while he was doing it, he was discipling his disciples and getting them ready so that when he knew he was done, there were people to carry out this good news and to tell people that there is a way. That I don't have to operate under the old covenant because that's been satisfied. That there is somebody who has offered themselves as the single sacrifice for sin so that you can be free and have a promise of a tomorrow. That is the goal of our Christian life. When I become like Christ now, when I become Christ living in me, his purpose and mission has now become my purpose and mission. Because I have been completely transformed by the cross. That is the goal. And I know what we're saying today, man, I'm sure the disciples back in the day, man, the world was dark for them. And they had the risk of losing their lives for sharing about this good news, but they did it, and they did it boldly. They did it with help. Through the Holy Spirit. The great news is we're not alone in this. We have the Holy Spirit with us that can lead us, guide us, direct us, that can speak through us. And today I know we're looking at a world that's really dark. But let me tell you this. I need y'all to strap in for a minute because I love you. But I need to expose somebody today. And who I'm exposing is Satan. Satan knows that when I've come in contact with the cross and I've been changed and now Christ lives within me, can he still tap me? Absolutely. Can he still discourage me? Absolutely. Can he still come after me? 100%. But one of his biggest things that he's going to try and get me to do is to be ineffective. Why? Because the last thing he wants is for this message to get out. The last thing he wants is for you to be talking to people about this. And let me tell you today, and I'm specifically going to be talking about the church today, specifically in America, that one of the reasons why the world is so dark is because the church has been retreating. We keep backpedaling because things are getting so hard. I now no longer want to be a part of it. And so I dive into my Bible studies and my small groups. And I want to talk about scripture day in and day out. And that's good stuff. That is a part of our relationship with Jesus. We need to be poured into. But God didn't create a bucket system where we just receive, receive, receive. He's created us as a funnel to where when I receive, the purpose is for me to now pour out. And when I'm done pouring out, then I'm going to come back to get received. And I'm going to start that cyclical process all over again. That is the purpose. But the problem is Satan has tempted us in what I call the Pharisee mindset to where all I want to do is talk about Jesus, surround myself with Jesus, get in God's word, and I never want to have interaction with the world. And I believe God spoke to my granddad when he said this. He was a preacher, and I believe it today. And he spoke it back then, and I'm going to speak it now. And he said, you are so heavenly minded that you do no earthly good. Are you today so heavenly minded that you are not doing any earthly good? Yes, I know the Bible says I'm not a part of this world. You are right. My residency is in heaven, but I am still a part of it. And as Christians, we got to stop retreating and start getting our hands dirty. There's people out there that need saved. There's people out there that need hope. There's people out there committing suicide on a daily basis. There's teens in our county that are committing suicide because they don't feel like they have a purpose or a mission. And we've got the answer right here. And what are we doing? Nope, I want to go to church. I knew it was going to be a little quiet today. That's okay. Look, this sounds like I'm bashing Bible studies, all that. I'm not. They're important. We need to be poured into. Coming to church today, I don't want you leaving saying, oh, that was a good message. Oh, I liked the worship. Yeah, that was great. It's not the point. The point is for you to be filled today so that when you leave here, you start pouring out onto others. I don't have to take part in what the world does. Jesus never took part in what the people were pressuring him to do. He still was abiding by God's word. I'm not saying we have to be watching what the world is watching or putting any of that junk, because there's a lot of junk out there. I don't have to be taking part of these things, but it doesn't mean I completely isolate and separate myself away. We've got to stop huddling up in a building thinking this is our only safe place to be. When there is a mission field out there that needs us. Why? Because Christ has entrusted us with spreading his mission. He has entrusted you and I. And you don't need a seminary degree in order to do this. Let me tell you, seminary degrees mean nothing. It's a piece of paper. Congratulations. It is God's calling and his Holy Spirit that works through you that means the world. And that is by any one of us. All of us are called to do that. And I know this is hard. And I want to speak specifically right now to parents and grandparents because I work with your kids. And having my son 7 months ago, almost 8 months ago now, wow. Best moment of my life. It was awesome. Outside of Jesus coming into my heart. It was up there. Top five moments by far. I want nothing more but to protect my son. I want nothing more than to keep him safe. But ultimately, my goal is for him to one day confess Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. To have that transformative cross moment. And I get what your kids are seeing in school right now. And out in the world in sports, scary. Because we know kids are impressionable. And I know you as parents are wanting to do everything you can to protect them. For them to know Christ. For them not to be taken in by all this rubbish that's out there. And so what I'm going to say is you do what God leads you to do. But I want to pose a question to you. Because I know the temptation here is to remove my kids from any situation to where they could be influenced. My question to you is this. Could you be robbing them of their mission field? Why I'm saying that is I want you to be confident in what you're doing with your kids. If you're pouring into your kids at home, I get it. You're not perfect. You mess up. We fall short all the time. No parent is perfect. I can't ever reach to that level. But be confident that if you're teaching about your kids about Jesus at home, that God has taken those seeds and doing miraculous things with them, things that you can't see. Yeah, you and I never had to deal with the stuff that they're dealing with today, but God knew they would, and they've been prepared for this moment. Taking them into a private school or just keeping them in church is not going to help them accomplish their mission. You You do what God leads you to do. But be careful that as we have the tendency to be tempted to retreat, don't let your kids retreat either. Why? I've tasked the kids with something I'm going to task all of you all in a minute, so get ready. But I told the kids upstairs all this month that I want you to bring a friend with you on Easter Sunday, specifically a friend that doesn't know Jesus. During our spring break on March 10th, I had a second grade girl come up to me. And she said, I've invited somebody to come with me to church on Easter. I said, that's great. She said, they know Jesus. I said, well, that's okay. She said, but I brought them to church because they told me they know Jesus, but they don't know how to be saved. They know Jesus, but they don't know if they've messed up too much for Jesus. This is a second grade girl saying this. Your kids are ready to be the light of Jesus to their world. Embolden them, encourage them, and have faith in the gift that God has given you to send them into the world for them to be the light of Jesus. Because next Sunday, this second grade girl's friend is coming to church. And I am praying and believing that when my leaders present the gospel next week, that something's going to click on the inside of her and her name's going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life forever. But that only happens because somebody wasn't afraid to retreat, but they were able to get their hands dirty. I don't have to take part in the world, but I am a part of it. God is not calling us to back off right now. God is calling us to dive in. This world needs saving, and He has called you to be His messenger. I need to start putting feet and action to what God's word says. If I don't, then I am becoming spiritually obese by only being filled but never pouring out. I want to close with this. One of the movies that I love watching, not all the time because it's a really sad movie, but it's a cinematic masterpiece. It's by Steven Spielberg. It's called Schindler's List. Has anybody ever seen Schindler's List? Fantastic movie. At the end of that movie, you have Liam Neeson, who's playing the character of Oscar Schindler, who was taking Jews out of the concentration camps in Poland and putting them to work as they were making goods and services for the Nazi Party. At the end of the movie, Poland was liberated from the German control. And so these Jews were now free. Oscar Schindler getting his things packed up, ready to turn himself in. And at the end of that movie, they gave him a ring and he starts looking around. It's 1,100 people here, by the way. 1,100 people. This dude saved, and this is based off a true story. He saved 1,100 Jewish people. That's phenomenal. This should be a time of celebration, a time of joy. These people are free. The persecution's over. This man should feel accomplished by what he's done, and yet he is breaking down in tears because he looks at his car and said, why did I even have this car? This could have been 10 more people. This ring is gold. This could have been two people. He starts looking around at his possessions and immediately begins to think, how many more people could I have saved? This is the heart Jesus wants us to adopt. That's why Jesus made the parables about the lost coin, about the lost sheep. That's why I had my own parable the other day of the lost pacifier. I was late dropping him off to the babysitter, but I tore up my house trying to find that thing. Because I knew my son needed it. Do we have that attitude today about people who are lost? When I get to heaven, we're all going to give an account before Jesus. And I feel like no matter how well we do, that I'm still going to have that attitude of, man, I still could have gotten one more. But I don't want to stand before Jesus and him say, you never even tried to do the mission that I gave you. I do want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. How do I hear that? His purpose and mission has to become my purpose and mission. You've got the perfect opportunity this week, which let me keep in mind. Yes, I'm talking about this week solely, but this is not a one-week deal. This is something we need to adopt in our regular life every day. But Easter is coming. You heard Pastor Josh just say a little bit ago that this is the time of year where people are the most receptive to say yes. Christmas is the time where people have plans with families. They still come, but it's a little bit harder to get people. Easter, we normally don't travel. This is the time where you can really step up and reach out to somebody who doesn't know Christ. Be careful, though, not to fall into the loopholes that Satan tries to give you. Well, I put a sign in my yard for my church, so I'm good. Can I do better than that? If there's somebody you know who doesn't know Jesus, which we all should know somebody, if you don't, you got a problem. If you don't, I'm encouraging you right now, expand your friend field. It doesn't take much. You don't have to walk them through the whole salvation message, but if the Holy Spirit opens it up, go for it. But be led by the Spirit. But a simple, hey, what's your plans for Easter? My family and I are going to church. We would love for you to come with us. Even if that's too much, even if someone starts to say, man, I've had some really hard things going on, I'm sorry you're going through that. Can I pray for you right now? Little things like this can make the biggest difference. But be faithful in investing in somebody's life who doesn't know Christ. And yes, sometimes this can take time. Some of you have family members that you've been working on for years. And I encourage you, just be patient, keep going. But it can take time. But it starts by being sensitive to the Holy Spirit to allow him to lead you. This week, I want you to pray, Holy Spirit, would you open up a door of opportunity for me to share about Jesus with somebody who doesn't know you? That is a dangerous prayer to pray. Why? Because God's going to answer it. He has every time with me. That's why I said it's dangerous. But if you're truly committed about this, I want you to pray that. And I want it to be everybody's goal in this room to bring somebody who doesn't know Jesus. I know you can't control that. But to bring somebody who doesn't know Jesus to church next week. This ain't about Crosswater. This is about somebody's life being completely changed and transformed by the cross through Christ's sacrifice. This is one more person that you could reach. Next week, I am so excited. Pastor Josh, the Holy Spirit is going to speak through you and use you. He's going to move you out of the way so that he can speak through you and bring the message of Jesus. And we as pastors, yes, a staff are so excited because I'm already looking forward to after Easter Sunday. Why? Because I just want to know how many people gave their hearts to Jesus, and we're going to celebrate that because that's a big deal. Because that's more people than before who are coming to heaven with us. And that's got to be our purpose. Why? Because it's not about me anymore. Easter ain't about me. It's about others. So as much as I know you're going to be focused on what outfits to wear, getting the perfect picture next week at our photo booths, having the most Instagram-worthy post that's going to make all your friends jealous, and you're going to do it and you're going to be awesome at it. But what I want you to hold even more in priority, not just for yourself, but as a family. That means everybody in your family, from your teenagers to your kids, is taking part of this. Bring somebody to church that doesn't know Jesus. Inconvenience yourself this week to go out of the way and seek the one person who needs it more than ever. You have the solution to the problem. God is just using you. You might be the only person that God has in mind to reach that person. Be faithful to it, to the mission he's given you. If I can't do that, then I got another option for you. If you've tried your best and you can't get anybody to church with you, on the back of your notes today is a QR code right here. When you scan that QR code, you're going to see all the open areas to serve in on Easter Saturday night and Sunday morning. If I can't bring somebody to church with me, then I can at least through action be the hands and feet of Jesus next week. And let me tell you, if you sign up on this, this is a one-day commitment. This is not roping you in for a lifetime. This isn't anything like that. We promise this is one day. One day only. If you want to do more after that, that's on you. We ain't gonna push. But that's one day. Could you be the hands and feet of Jesus for one day? Because your example might impact a child's life, a teenager's life, or an adult's life forever. Your smile as you open the door for somebody as they walk in can completely change somebody's life. The coffee that you serve in the cafe, the very cup and conversation, God could speak to you and be saying the very things that person needed to hear. You sitting down with a baby or a toddler and showing them what the love of Christ looks like could be something that sticks with that child forever. You sitting down with an elementary school student and telling them you do have purpose. You've been made on purpose by Jesus who loves you, who died for you. You cleaning up toilet paper, paper towel from a bathroom. I know it sounds silly. Folks, the body of Christ works together. One part is not more important than the other. It works together. And next week, our mission, should somebody come through these doors here, people say, give them hell. We're going to give them heaven next week. Next week, we're giving them heaven. Amen? But it starts by you taking up your part today. It starts by you taking ownership of the mission that God has given you specifically. Who are you bringing with you Sunday? Who are you talking about Jesus this week? Who is it? If everybody bow your head and close your eyes, I pray the Holy Spirit right now would bring that person to the front of your mind. I want you to sit and think about this person for just a minute. This person was in the same position you were. Lost. In the realm of the flesh, everything about me, destined for death. But remember the moment when somebody reached out to you. When somebody went out of their way to make sure that you knew who Jesus was. That moment when somebody made sure that you mattered. And you had that moment where you became face to face with the cross, and it completely transformed your life forever. The person you're thinking about right now in your life who doesn't know Jesus is destined for hell. They're destined for death. But your faithfulness and obedience to God's mission in your life could be the reason why that person's name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. God wants to use you today. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would empower and embolden every person in this room. God, I rebuke the enemy and the fear and the lies that he is going to try and bring into our lives to try and stop us, to make us ineffective, the roadblocks, the things he is going to throw in the way this week to discourage us and to get us to quit. But I pray that we would be stubborn this week. I pray that we would dig our feet in and we would say, I'm not going to move for Satan. I'm going to move for God. And I'm going to move forward and make sure that I do my part and telling somebody, whether it's somebody I work with, whether it's a neighbor I live by, whether it's a random person I come in contact at the grocery store or in the drive-thru line or wherever it may be, they're going to know about Jesus. Because God, I want to reach one more. I don't want to be caught in being so heavenly minded that I do no earthly good. God, help me to accomplish your mission today. Help me to accomplish your purpose. I pray that we would be emboldened as we leave today to go and be the light of Jesus to this dark world, into our communities, that people would find hope here, that they would find you here, and that ultimately, God, at the end, you get the glory, you get the honor, and you get the praise forever and ever. Amen.